Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, A Warning and a Promise. Today's message is based on Matthew 16, verses 24 through 28. But let us open with prayer. Almighty God, we pray for your blessing on the church in this place. Here may the faithful find salvation, the careless be awakened. Here may the doubting find faith and the anxious be encouraged. Here may the tempted find help and the sorrowful find comfort. Here may the weary find rest and the strong be renewed. Here may the aged find consolation and the young be inspired, all through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens, and through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Amen. So let us turn now in our Bibles to Matthew 16, beginning verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it for a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So we will interrupt our sermon series after today to focus on the marvelous holiday season upcoming. We will resume after New Year. So today, in addition to the prophecies of Jesus in this selection, we also will mark the Veterans Day observance. And this passage has a great deal to do with both the purpose of the Christian life and seeking our salvation, as well as the purpose of the Christian citizen of any nation that is seeking the well-being and the preservation of that nation for God. And now turning to the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus had told his disciples of his coming death on the cross. They had accepted this news, much as we would, by denying the possibility. Jesus even rebukes Peter with one phrase, Get behind me, Satan, that Jesus would accept the will of God over the desires of an evil humanity. And this is what we all must face day to day in our own lives. This was not something just Peter did once long ago, but what we must resist daily. I believe that many of us underestimate just how difficult this was for Jesus. Satan had already promised him the whole world, yet God had declared death on the cross. Now, given these choices, how would each of you respond? Jesus had already experienced power beyond imagination, could easily achieve anything he desired. Yet, Jesus chose to obey God and to suffer. This was no little thing that Jesus was asked to do. So we begin today with, And Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In more modern language, Jesus is telling his disciples, Can you only talk the talk, or can you actually walk the walk? And there are major points in this sentence. First, we must deny ourselves. We live in a time where it's all about me. We live in a very selfish time where all of life is about self-satisfaction. So what does it mean to deny self? Is it that we come to church instead of playing golf on a Sunday morning? Does it mean that we hold back from the collection plate because we want a new golf club? And you'll notice I'm using golf analogies today because I don't think any of you are here that are golfers. So use your own imagination to substitute another idol in your own life. And this list can go on and on. But even if we did deny these human desires, would it be enough? The denial Jesus spoke of to his disciples in that day and to all of us in this day is something far greater. William Barclay says it as, To deny oneself to every moment of life, to say no to self and yes to God. To deny self means once, and finally to dethrone self, and then enthrone God. This simply can be said: to deny self is to always and in all things put God first and self last. This is not a Sunday morning denial or even a Wednesday evening, but the constant ascent to God. Here we have to be careful. In medieval times, monks and hermits went to live in the caves. This is not what God desires. Nunneries and priories are another mistake, for God wants us to live in plain sight as His light, an example of how life should be lived. We are to have a job, we are to go to work, but we take God with us. It can be going to school or competing in athletic events. Go not for self or good old school, but for God, that others will see God and Jesus in you and be drawn to them. Do all things to draw others to their salvation, even while you're having fun. The second part of this is to take up his cross. At the time Jesus spoke these words, the disciples did not have any idea of how Jesus was to die or that he would die. Remember that we were to talk Jesus out of it? The Gospel of Luke adds the word daily to this, to take up our cross daily. For this is something we must do every day, and some days multiple times a day. Today we know more clearly what this means, at least for Jesus. But what does it mean for us? Being a Christian is a sacrificial life. We are not called to be leaders and kings, but rather servants. Now, I will not tell you to give up everything you have and are working for. We are not to sell our belongings, wrap ourselves in a sheet, and go wait on a mountain. In 1844, tens of thousands of people in Massachusetts expected the world to come to an end. They were followers of William Miller, a man who claimed to know the date of Jesus' second coming. And many Millerites sold all their possessions to prepare for the day when Christ would return to earth and gather them up to heaven, to purify the rest of the world in an all-consuming fire. And as the day approached, a great comet blazed across the Massachusetts sky, and the number of believers grew. So on October 22nd, the Millerites donned white robes and climbed mountains or trees to speed their ascension into heaven. When the prophecy failed, most abandoned Miller's apocalyptical teachings. They returned to their original churches. We are not called to be Millerites, but Christian. We are to obey God's holy word and live every day as we have been taught, not for self, but for Christ. We are to show that a Christian can be successful without being crooked and dirty. We are to show the world just how God intended humanity to live and not what people with selfish interests have falsely tried to tell us. We are to shine for Christ in the world and not behind some closed door. To do this, we must live in a state of constant hourly awareness of the truth of God, the demands of God's, and the needs of others. The Christians will always show concern for others before self, and this is how we should be recognized. And finally, Jesus instructs his disciples to follow him. Note, this is not just to be aware of him, not to intellectually recognize that such a person existed, but to truly follow. We may claim that we do, as many do, but do we really follow him? Do we dedicate our lives to him? Or do we render to him a perfect obedience? Of course we don't, for we are frail humans incapable of perfect obedience. But how hard do we try? And Barclay again says, "The Christian walks in the footsteps of Christ wherever Christ may lead. Not just where we want to go, but where Jesus leads, no matter the inconvenience or difficulty." So going now to verses 25 through 26, we have some of what can be called the hard teachings of Jesus. "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" To understand better, we must discern between existing and living. To exist, we must breathe, eat, and sleep. A pretty good life for a dog. To live is where everything is worthwhile, has value, and brings joy. The Christian journey is not to be of drudgery, but of joy. We certainly will have trouble, difficulty, and pain in life. For we live in a world that is filled with the sinful nature of humanity. Evil exists and is abundant today and is everywhere. What the Christian is to do is to live in avoidance of this evil as far as we are able. But it gets better. In a selfish world, we live for security, to gain possessions, and to achieve some type of notice for ourselves. For many who live only for the moment, that is enough. But they neglect their eternity, maybe as myth, or they just don't care. Why do all opposers of Christ offer the ability to reject Christ in order to save our lives? They think in their own way that the self is more important. Therefore, the Christian will walk away from their faith to preserve their life. And here is the line drawn between true faith and those whose faith is focused on themselves. In February of 2015, a group of 21 Coptic Christians in Egypt were given this choice from ISIS and they refused. They were summarily mass beheaded, and the video shown around the world. They stood for what they believed, and ISIS believed they paid the price. What ISIS never understood, and those who defy God and God's faithful, is that the life we live in this world is only a temporary thing. For glory lies beyond. And though we may die, we will live eternally. Now, I pray none of you will have to make such a decision. But I would suggest that you question yourself. If being in such a situation, how would you respond? We have seen it here. We have not seen it here yet. But it does happen all around the world. Christians are the most persecuted faith in the history of humankind. Christian-led the statistics today. We have a current wave of violence against Christian organizations. At least 75 Christian-based pregnancy centers have been attacked in the U.S. since late May this year. Add to that the churches and synagogues attacked and burned in the last 12 months. And just because you don't see it on the evening news doesn't mean it isn't happening. It may not be death or destruction. Maybe you lose your job or are passed over for a promotion. Maybe you are not allowed to go to or are comfortable in some stores. Maybe you are sued because you defy the sinful world and defend your belief. So now for the rest of the story. It continues, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, then he will reward each according to his works." If you can't recognize what Jesus is plainly saying is that when he comes again, he will come to judge. We will all face judgment. He will come not alone and meek this time as he did in Bethlehem, but will come with his angels, the heavenly host, a mighty army to enforce God's justice on the world. When Jesus comes again, it will be noticeable, a mighty and glorious sight that will surpass anything that nature could muster. Those who have lived in obedience will see this with joy, while those who live selfishly will see it in dread and fear. And then the final verse today, "I say to you that there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This verse and its many interpretations has caused confusion. From the plain reading in Matthew, it seems to say that some of those disciples living would then see the second coming of Jesus. Since this obviously did not happen, was Jesus wrong? We must remember that this was recorded in one language, translated to another, and then finally into English. Also, if you read Mark's account in Mark 9, "Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." Both say pretty much the same thing, just differently. Mark states it will be a powerful event. The possible solutions to this statement is first, the transfiguration of Jesus, which occurs next in Matthew. And this was a mighty event that was witnessed by some that were standing there. The next would be Pentecost, a day that upset the entire world and the Holy Spirit in great power, it gave to the world the knowledge of Jesus that soon spread. Third, within the lives of most of the disciples, then apostles, the gospel of Jesus was spread throughout the known world, to Jews and Gentiles, so that in a very few years something happened that no one could have expected, that the message of an itinerant carpenter would become the official religion of the mightiest kingdom of that time, Rome. Who could have predicted that, and even now, over 2,000 years later, remains the largest effective ministry that doesn't depend on brute force, but love of humanity. And there is yet one more. But now let us turn to Veterans Day, which was and always is on November 11th. On the 11th day of the 11th month at the 11th hour, an armistice was signed ending World War I, the Great War. The First World War involved war. It was a war to end all wars. Unfortunately, it didn't last more than two decades later, and we have World War II, even more brutal. World War I was what many historians call the first modern war, which included such weapons as machine guns, long-range artillery, airplanes that could both shoot from the skies and drop bombs. Then add to this gas warfare so horrible that it has been permanently banned by international treaty, but is still sometimes used. Death and destruction on a scale before unimaginable. In 1921, a single body of an American soldier from that war was interred at Arlington National Cemetery as the Unknown. Inscribed on that memorial are these simple words: "Here rest in honor and glory an American soldier known but to God." That tomb is guarded day and night in silence, 24/7, 365 days a year, in honor of those from that war and for all wars since and yet to come, who sacrificed their youth and their lives for the sake of country and God. Veterans Day is not for those who perished in the war specifically, but for all who served. They may have been a frontline soldier, an airman, or a sailor whose life was given for country, or who was willing to serve with the threat of constant danger. They may have been serving in a distant place, making sure our fighting soldiers had everything they needed to be successful. They may have served in a medical forward position in a tent, in a hospital, or in a hospital ship. We should not seek where they served, but that they did serve, and they put themselves at risk. Those that came home forever changed. For this one day, we shall show all veterans honor and praise for what they did for us. I've seen this meme many times, a picture of a very old man wearing a veteran's cap while a bunch of teenagers look at him. The caption says something like, "Never make fun of that old man shuffling around town. In his day, he was more than you could ever imagine." Every generation has seemed to become just a little less. We have movies that depict the horrors of war, but not virtual image can ever take the place of actually being there and seeing it for yourself. Remember, these veterans have. They've seen it. They've lived it, and they have survived it, all for you. Now, the scripture selection I was made for the day was already in place before I realized it would fall on Veterans Day. But this is so very suitable. In these verses, Jesus is telling each of us that the effort we must make to be God's servant is a difficult one. Jesus is telling us that we will be oppressed and face danger as Christians. We may even lose our lives in service to Him. This is also, more or less, the same challenge that is given to all those who choose to serve our nation. But there is more. The second half of this passage today clearly states that the reward for faithful service is great. The Christian has a solid promise from Jesus that there is a great reward that awaits those who remain faithful. Jesus has issued here both a warning and a promise of what is to come. A little earlier I said there was one more possibility of how we will witness the fulfillment of Jesus' words. that some will not see death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Well, we cannot ever deny that any promise of God or Jesus is in vain or error, but we can't be assured it will come true just as we imagine. This just may not have been intended to just the 11 disciples, but to all future disciples of Christ. And some alive this day will be there to see him coming in his glory. So come, Lord Jesus, come. Today we honor this promise, but also those who serve us daily in service to this nation. Whenever you see that old guy in his veteran's hat shuffling along, walk up to him and thank him. For all of them have sacrificed so much for you that you may live in the land of the free because of the brave. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. Keep alert. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. We thank the heroes of our nation, the heroes who fought for us when we were asleep, the heroes who are fighting for us today, the heroes that will fight for us. Some people among us gave all they had. They gave for the country. They are the veterans. We will always be thankful for you. The veterans built America on courage, bravery, and pride. They saved America as a free land. May all the veterans always be remembered whenever this day comes. For there can be no love to be greater than giving your life for your family and your friends and the land on which we live. We remember you as our pride. We offer you our prayers of peace. We as a nation are indebted to all those who spent their lives protecting us. So in the name of God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, with the power of the Holy Spirit, amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find the text and video of this message on our website. This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com. Cool.